You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Welcome, everyone. This is Derek White Sky Cloud, and you're listening to and watching BBSRadio.com. We are here. We're watching Between Two Worlds Radio, and I got some really interesting information for you folks. We're doing something different today. Actually, we're going on live to a location where friends of mine were involved in a 10,000-year-old burial site up in Mission, British Columbia. And they are at a meeting that's supposed to have taken place. And her name, one of the ladies that I'm going to be talking to tonight is Irene Moss Gravenhurst. Is that correct? Irene, is that you?
Yes, that would be me.
Okay. She's of the Squamish-Kanawha Turtle Island. She actually does other things as well, and I'll put the word in there. She's actually of the Universal Sovereign Squamish Bank Credit Group. And she does other things as well. She's actually she's always involved. Her and Chief, many chiefs and other people in the community are involved in all types of protecting programs and trying to reclaim our rights as who we are as an original people of this land. I'm learning.
That's great.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Derek. It's nice to be here.
So, now, even though I was just calling you just before you were supposed to have this meeting, what did happen?
Well, we attended the Best Western in Mission for what's called a public hearing. Mm-hmm. And the public hearing was regards to some land developers who wanted to go through a second reading on a, of course, some land that they wanted to develop. It's been, I guess, it's been ongoing for about 10 years. The hallway was absolutely packed. There was standing room only. I would not hesitate to say there was well over 200 people in this at this particular meeting, and there was media there. CTV was there. There was private media. The district council of Mission sat there to conduct everything and pulled out all the stats to introduce the project to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Now apparently I'm told that after the second reading, what they do is they fly it through. It doesn't matter. I have been to so many of these meetings. I have heard so many people complain about the fact that, you know, we're here to be the voice for the grizzly bears. We're here to be the voice for the trees that are being cut down. We're here to be the voice for the salmon that run through the rivers. Apparently, there's some interesting developments in this particular case where the Department of Fisheries has not completely supported this particular land development. But the, of course, what they do, they've organized it so well in comparison to the other meetings that we've had, whereby you have to register in order to get to the mic. It's completely controlled because there's RCMP sitting in the front seat. Anybody, if the control, what they normally do is then they call the fire marshal and they bust up the meeting.
This is purposeful. This is absolutely farcical.
It's totally orchestrated so that what happens is they pick the people that they want to hear at the very beginning And then what they do is they run out of tape because it's cable TV. You don't get to hear the truth of the people who are pissed off about this.
No.
You don't get to hear the truth about what's really going on behind the paperwork.
Yeah.
And initially what happens, Derek, is we ended up walking out. And we ended up walking out with our cameras. We ended up walking out with the two CMs because one of the things is that if you know that you're number 40 down the line, it's almost 10 o'clock at that time and everybody's left. So who wants to listen to you?
Mm-hmm.
And they deliberately put this in such a play that, the people who really have a care and a heart about the community and they do want to affect positive changes are now silenced because they're at the end of the roll call, so to speak. So, yeah, we did walk out, we feel frustrated because we know that the second reading means that they're just going to push this through and it doesn't matter how much, but we have been to BC Hydro Commission meetings. We have been to other Protect the BC Rivers from Privatization meetings. We have been in front of 2,000 people talking and speaking to these private corporations and saying that you don't have a right of claim to take away the power from the people. And Gordon Campbell, I must say, is one of these individuals that is very arrogantly shuts his ears off to the cries of the people, closes, puts on his sunglasses because he doesn't want to see the East End of Vancouver. Well, I mean, homeless.
He thinks he's in California or something. I mean, where's his...
Oh, I'm sure. Or even Hawaii. Remember the Hawaii stint?
Well, I'll tell you something. Before you go to the Hawaii stint, I've actually have a friend who's actually seen Campbell himself still to this day. He'll run off to some other reservation way out towards Squamish or some out of the reached area with a couple of bodyguards, and he's in that bar drunker than a skunk.
Yeah, I know. These are the type of politicians that we elect, or the people who do go out and vote and think that their vote really matters. We also do know, for those people who are asleep, that there is a fraudulent voting system in place. And that has all been proven in Congress by the United States through the technology directors who have confirmed that George Bush was voted in on secret ballots. And what they did was they took the graves of the dead people and took those as votes and implemented it into the system so that the favoritism would, the numbers would conjure up. So, you know, the games of the politics are over. You can see that by the amount of people that are willing to get out of the, off the couch, onto the street, and into a meeting hall like they did tonight, and come up with their banners and show up in force. Now, the whole thing about it is that there's huge control issues, and the control issues come from the lower level of government. I mean, the district mission and the municipal level of all governments in the communities, they are in serious trouble because when you start attending, when people start actually going to these meetings and questioning these people and putting them on a platform where they have to answer and they can't avoid it and they can't use their lawyers as a way to say, oh, well, we'll get a legal opinion about all of this.
Well,
no, that doesn't work anymore.
Couldn't we actually go down to the media, to BCTV, right after what they've done? I mean, like, even though a lot of people just walked away frustrated because they couldn't get onto the mic, couldn't you just go down to BCTV, into the studio, and tell the story, what's been going on?
Well, the reason
why you
can't...
Create your own video and watch it.
Well, if you can do it with independent media, then you're all right because you're not censored.
Yeah.
But when you go to a place like Global TV or you go to Chum Western, it's all controlled media by the Rupert Murdochs, by the Turners. These individuals, these families, have a hold over the media source, which is one of the main reasons why I'm allowed to speak on your radio show with this kind of information, because you're not going to censor it.
Yeah. No, and I don't have CRTC involved.
Right, and that's the neat part, right?
Yeah.
That's the neat part, Derek, is that the truth can be said and it can be heard on your particular medium. But on others, such as Global TV, Pacific Press, we're looking at huge conglomerates that control CNN, that control Fox, CBC. This is all the dumbing down of the human race, and it is a deliberate thing because through that dumbing down of the messages, they use the gamma rays and the subliminal messages to make you think that you are, you know, who you think you are.
Well, here's something else talk about really quick here, but, I mean, they're talking about bringing in, they're going to filter as well as, digital television, digitalized television, which basically it will take away all the rights to anyone to watch TV on a regular programming because basically all your televisions will not be able to pick up anything through digital out of an antenna. So whose idea was to take that away from the public? The government. Why? Mm. Because they want to control the masses who is connected to that digital television, which what we actually have at home, but the regular common television is the one they carry by antenna. The next few weeks, no one can be able to actually watch anything from the States or anything that actually is connected to digital stations because you're going to actually have nothing but white noise. So that's how they try to control the masses in that part. And I even told the radio station regarding what's going to happen the next few weeks. They think I'm full of crap. They think this is not going to happen. I know it's going to happen.
Yeah, it is going to happen. I agree with you, Derek. They're trying to really tighten the noose around our necks. And the thing is that people who are not afraid to speak about it and share their experiences and let the truth be heard. And in my particular case, one of my biggest things is to get rid of every tax that is out there in the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because I believe that every tax is, in fact, contributor to the wars on this planet, and I refuse to consciously attach my signature to a war on a planet to destroy the human race. I won't do it.
No.
I will not violate the Nuremberg principles. So one of the things is that when you start becoming really creative about how you want to get out of that sandbox that the government has created for you, and you start really, really playing strong, that's when they start wanting you to shut up. And the best way to shut you up is to get you out of their system, which is one of the main reasons why I think private media is the best way to continue to share the information of truth to the human race.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to the meeting that took place in Mission, though, was it closed already, or are still people there?
No, they were all quietly sitting there listening. There was a lot of seniors and came up to the platform saying, yay, I support the bylaws, yay, I support the development, yay, I support the project, blah, blah, blah. These are the handpicked individuals that come forward to get a first say.
Native or non-native? Let's put it, native or non-native?
Oh, they're all non-native.
This is on burial ground. This is actually a sacred 10,000. This is a 10,000-year-old site. What the hell is going on in their heads?
Yeah. Well,
we got to remember.
Yeah, but Derek, you got to remember, we've got the Department of Indian Affairs making sure that this information doesn't go through band council, so that the band council doesn't make these announcements to these people. Because if they were to do that, and the First Nations peoples were to show up in full force, there'd be a little bit of an intimidation there, and there'd be a shift of power, because it is the red race people, the red race originals, who have a right of claim to say something and make it stick, especially the hereditary CMs. I'm not calling them chiefs anymore because that's a bogus name created by the Department of Indian Affairs. The Department of Indian Affairs is a genocide corporate arm of the Vatican. And their intention is to make sure that the red race is completely eliminated from the planet. But it's not just the red race. They also don't like Africa. Africa is full of natural minerals and resources and a very, very wealthy country. But they don't like the color black, so they want to eliminate them. So what better way than to introduce HIV into that particular country, have this country go into starvation mode, and then do a little henpecking with the UN and a little bit of Red Cross treatments with tainted blood and switching that around, and then making sure that the pharmaceutical company gets in there to make these people even sicker. That's the genocide with the Vatican and the Pew powerful elite. And I'm not afraid to mention the names. I will say that the Trilateral Commission headed by the Rockefeller family, the Bilderberger Group, the House of the Rothschilds, all of the tax monarchs. So it's not just the Queen of England, but it is also the royalty of the Netherlands, Belgium, and all over the world. These people know what they are doing, and their intention to destroy two-thirds of the human population, to bring it down to their manageable controlling size of 500,000 people with few masters and a lot of slaves, is what they want. That is their intention. They've even erected the monument somewhere in the States to make sure that this has been declared. And why people don't knock that stupid thing down, it's beyond me. It's not within my territory. It's not within my reach to be able to do it. But I could tell you something. If I lived closer to that thing, I would do something.
It wouldn't be
because I need to destroy property, but it would be for me to approach the individual who erected that particular monument, and I would say to them, "So if you are the master, then who is your slave? Well, you better not be looking at me, because boy, I'll punch you right in between the eyes, because I'm nobody's slave, right?
Exactly.
I'm nobody's slave."
Well, we got...
But that's the way they set it up.
Bilderberg and a few other companies right now that were involved in oil have just decided to say they're going to protect the banks and they're going to protect what we're losing right now. They're actually adding some money to control. Here's the start. Okay? They've already got started. They actually announced it on the news here that they're going to help bring in the finances to support these banks to give them back what they need, because they say the banks are losing money. Well, who's the one that's actually saying they're losing the money? Was the investors that created it. The investors that created it was Bilderberg themselves. So they're the ones that control the market, the stock market. They're the ones that control every money you can think of. So they get the people going to a panic like sheep. And
yeah.
So here we are running and hiding, and we're so afraid to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and I think like the lemmings or the sleepy sheeple, a lot of people go into a state of confusion, and they go into a state of going, well, now that the banks are being bailed out, which is a joke, which is a farce. Everybody knows it. I'm not playing the game. I'm not playing the game. It's not funny anymore.
It's profiteering. Profiteering hardly. It's all just basically controlling society. It's really controlling the masses and to see what they have.
Yeah.
What they're really doing,
distortion.
They're reenacting this whole thing. If you think about the history, a bit of the biblical history, the Jews did not accept the fact that what Jesus was doing at the time, so they got the soldiers, the Romans, to basically prosecute him. Well, this is basically what's happening. It's a reenactment of all this. Again, I'm not saying the Jews are doing this, but this the companies of itself, actually Bilderberg sounds Jewish, but they themselves, again, trying to control the masses. And so people are looking for that savior. Well, is that supposed to be the return of the second coming of Christ? I don't think so. What it is that we just have to learn to stand up for ourselves.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. And it's time for human beings to start taking responsibility for themselves. What I see for this whole thing is that when you start questioning, when you start using your voice, when you start writing letters, when you start, demanding answers, and not walking away just because somebody says, well, my legal counsel will get back to you. That doesn't work for me anymore.
Legal
I don't want
counsel.
To listen to lawyers.
Who's
yeah.
the, you know, I mean, yes, we've got great legal
yeah.
counsel that want to protect us. I mean, next week I've got a really fabulous legal counselor. He's actually, he's trying to help protect our herbs. If we don't have this, they were there actually in court today, in the Vancouver courts today, which from the Strauss Herb Company. And I'm going to have these guys on next week. And you're going to listen to these guys. And it didn't last long. Normally they're expecting for it to at least last for a week to have this whole thing happen. But the judge suddenly said, he walked out, he says, I'll look it over and I'll give you an answer. Not even halfway through the whole day, all of a sudden, like, what's going on? It's because now they're not sure if it's in their favor as far as Strauss is concerned, but we've got herbs out there right now that need to be protected. And the protected is not from the government, protected from the government.
No.
Because
yes.
the government itself has taken that away from us. I don't want to see it like what Germany has done. Germany's taken the drugs away from those people, the herbs away from those people, where they have to get a prescription to get a vitamin B. And all they're going to get really is a very minuscule of vitamin B. Not enough to even get you strong enough, because they want you to spend at least $150 to $200 for that vitamin B to get what you need as far as the consumption is concerned. And again, it's control the masses.
Yeah.
So there's one country in Ireland that won't even let anyone come near their herbs. None whatsoever. In fact, these people go out in there, they'll fight you, they'll battle you, they'll shoot you if you try to take that away from them. And some, you know, our country is so passive, and we need to learn to stand up for ourselves. And I find that very, very important. We need to do that.
Absolutely, I agree.
You know, we have so many different types of lands to protect. And, you know, there are so many government officials out there that they want to get what we call these merit badges on their chest. Say, well, we're going to build this, we're going to build that. But most times when they build something, it's always an industrial site. That has nothing to do with helping developing something for the public. It has nothing. It's all to do with buildings, high rises. All it's going to create is a lot of pollution. All it's going to create is you're not going to enjoy any more trees, because they're going to take that all away from us. They're going to try, because I mean, I remember noticing when I lived in Vancouver, and I used to drive out just over the, before you cross over the Portman Bridge, you could see the mountain way ahead of you, way up above. 15 years ago, that mountain was all green, it was all trees. Now that mountain is empty, it's bare. Now all this is just houses. Hardly a tree there. But the government said, well, we'll replace those the empty areas with some trees. They put in there like 4 foot tall junipers, like as if that we're going to be able to breathe the oxygen that well through the carbon monoxide. I don't think so. It's going to take those trees a good 20 years to grow. So here's the problem. We do have these things that do happen at times. We're always trying to protect our lands, and so we just keep on going and doing this. Now, even though we'll go back to mission again. Now, what was said? What was it that you felt that needs to be heard?
Well, I believe that the voices of course the bears and the salmon and Mother Earth nature needs to be heard through the humans and the people who really do care about them. The developers don't care about them. We all know that. It is all about the greed. It's all about the big buck, and it's all about the chop of the tree and forget about how we can do a sustainable community. I have yet to see a sustainable community. All of these urban sprawls that are happening and in the area of Mission that they're trying to push through is the beginning of desecration on a sacred burial site of the first indigenous, I'm not allowed to say that, of the first original people, the red race people, and the disrespect that they continue to show to these people, just totally, I don't have any words for it. What can I say? I don't understand it. What happened to respecting your brother and your sister? What happened to giving them the right to bury their original ancestors in a sacred site. If we were to go on cemeteries and start desecrating and putting a highway through it, how would those people feel? Well, according to the Department of and the Ministry of Transport, Kevin Falcon and Mr. Gordon Campbell, they could care less, and they will continue on with this kind of destruction. So, I think at the meeting, what's going to happen tonight is at the end of the night, you will get the real juice of the meeting, and that's when a lot of people are already shutting their books down, putting their notepads away, getting ready to leave, and that's when you get the real people that are going to be able to say something, and yet everybody's going to turn their backs on them because it's late, everybody's had a long day, and the meeting's gone on for the way that the council, the district council, has planned all of this. So we were hoping for a different type of an outcome on this, but we left early in the evening because we are actually in the middle of another meeting right now. Mm. And so I do have to say goodnight, and I want to thank you for having me on the show. I look forward to hearing your next show next week. And I think what we should do is get together so that you can meet with Red Jacket and CM Kiapilano of the Squamish Nation and get a feel of what kind of other topics you might want to discuss with them, because Red Jacket and Kiapilano both have such beautiful, varied offerings that they can bring to your show.
Oh, I really think it would work out quite well. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Derek.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling.
Right. Bye-bye. Okay, on behalf of the Squamish Nation, Hayishka.
Hayishka. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. These things do happen, folks. We actually, like I said before, it gets pretty wild at times where people get caught up into these issues. We have so many meetings here in BC. It's so thriving into production. There's so many things that our Premier Gordon Campbell is doing right now. It's something that is devastating that I don't agree with what he's doing. He's already agreed to make a gateway. It's called Gateway. If you want everyone to look it up on British Columbia, just write the word Gateway. They want to put in highways all the way through the area, which relates to the Fraser River area, which is going to actually poison that completely. They don't care what happens. But, you know, I think about history back in time where it happened near a New West minister back in the 1850s when they developed the land, where it became a new town. It was actually the village itself was actually called New Westminster, which relates to the royal family. This is where they named the town New Westminster, named after, I think, Queen Victoria. And the area itself, when it was actually part of Fort Langley, and they actually developed that land, they clear-cutted a lot of acreage, and they actually killed over 500 black bear just for that land. And then they put in a fort, hunted down the bear. And I mean, yes, I know you need the bear hide, so to speak, and to survive, but 500 in a matter of, like, not even 10 years. That's a lot of bears. And right now to this day, I mean, we do have black bears, but what's the government's doing right now is they're developing so much land, and they're taking a lot of the forestry out from the edges of BC, where we are, Vancouver area, the Surrey area, and they keep on going further and further out of the forestry, and it's forcing the bears to come into town because they got nowhere to roam anymore, nowhere to really hunt. And yet, instead of them having to, when the bears do come into town or into the city, and instead of just shooting the bear with a sleeping dart and shipping the bear out to, again, further away out to inner British Columbia, which is actually the forestry area of northern BC, they don't take them that far because they said they can't afford to drive the bears all the way out to northern BC, which is all open forestry. No, they wouldn't do that. They have to just kill it. And I find that, you know, you don't shoot the bear because it's coming into town. I mean, they're saying, you know, we need to survive. Well, excuse me, but who was here first? the wildlife was here first. We've actually had, where I used to live, a few years back, there was a place that they clear-cutted 6 square miles of land, which did belong to the farmer. They bought him out, actually. Basically, was they forced him to pack in his land. They forced him, they created a new law that if you're not developing the land, by any means, that they tax him. And so, because they're thinking that that owner himself was going to develop housing on it, which he had no intention to, it was for just for his cattle only. But you also have to have an employee working for you to say that you're farming in this community. And this is out on the outer skirts of White Rock, and so Surrey area. And a lot of people of Langley and Fort Langley area, the government itself, the provincial government, forced these people to basically force them to sell all their property, their own land, so then they can develop it and put in housing. Develop it and put in housing. So instead of the owner having to pay, you know, like say $5,000 a year for taxes, land taxes, they're forcing him to pay between $50,000 to $150,000 in taxes, land taxes, because they're saying, well, you can develop this land into housing. They redeveloped the land zoning, the zoning of it. The city did this to them. I find that very wrong. That was illegal. And they're saying they can do whatever they want. And that's exactly what's happened to people out there today. A lot of these farmers are actually losing their properties. These are generational farmers. These are people of 4 or 5 generations. And now the new farmers today, even though there was a fellow who actually was a pig farmer, and he had no intention whatsoever to sell his land. He actually, not even to develop anything on it. He just wanted to raise his pigs and develop it. They told him, what land you're not using, we're going to take it from you. We're making you an offer. And that offer is, if you don't take it, we're taking it from you anyways. It's an old British Columbia law that they just take it right from you. They'll give you X amount of dollars for what it's worth. And you have to take it. If not, they just take you off the land. And if you fight them, try to fight them in court, it costs you more and more money all the time. That's where she was saying. They take their lawyers and they take it to court, and they, you know, and end up fighting over and over for the years. In Mission right now, they have a piece of land out there that's well developed over, it's not developed yet, and it's, I don't want to see it developed because it's one of the most, we call, barren areas. It's beautiful. It's all forestry. It's clean. It's green. And they want to take all that land that actually is over 10,000 years old, that actually was settled. There was a settlement there of other indigenous nations, of the Stolo, of the Stolo Nation, other types of territorial bands have actually settled in those areas. A lot of them actually have buried their ancestors there, and sacred grounds of other sorts. These are 10,000 years old. They wanted to clear cut all that and put in land development of industrial site. And this is where they've been fighting the government, fighting us for years, 10 years, and they're still trying to find ways to control us by, like she said, having to only allow you to put your name on a piece of paper and you're only allowed on the mic. But the only time you're only allowed to be on the mic is if you don't got nothing to say. And if you're a white person, which basically I can show up because I'm actually a half-breed, I actually would show them off and tell them how you feel. You know, we do have a lot of elders, Native elders, that come up and they want to come to the mic and say their piece, and they won't let them. And the police are there involved. The police are involved in this? Excuse me, there's something wrong here. You guys think about this. You go into these meetings, you're disagreeing. What are the police doing there? And what is the Premier Gordon Campbell doing there with sunglasses on? Come on. Gordon Campbell, wake up. You know, if you're acting as if you got power over all of us, you're just a little man on walking on a red man's land. Be careful where you walk, because one day it's going to come back to you. Now, I'm not threatening you myself, but there's going to be people out there that are going to be angry, and one day you may not have any food in your own store or in your home. And one day you're going to ask for that piece of food just to keep you eating. And they're going to say, sorry, you kicked us out. We're surviving. You can't. And that's the problem. Sometimes people out there just don't know what to do. So they figure they can try and control the public, and they can't do that. Anyways, it is kind of depressing when you talk about this kind of stuff, but you know what? These things are happening every day. They're happening every day, and you're trying to make it as enlightening as possible. I try to. I hear so many stories that become so heartbreaking, you know, and you hear it all the time. And myself, I'm also involved with Indian Residence School Survivor Society as one of the Métis elders, and I do healing circles every few weeks at the Vancouver Friendship Center. And he listened to stories, and many elders that come in, they tell your stories, and these are heart-wrenching stories, you know, and they telling you stories about what happened to them when they were young, or what land was taken away from them and their family and ancestral background, their ancestral history, and it's just all totally heart-wrenching. But on top of that, but I'll tell you, and like we were talking about earlier regarding the herbs as well, to protect our herbs, I do have a sponsor that comes on my show every week, and I have a lady by the name of Brenda J. I'm not going to give her last name, but her name is Brenda J. And she actually makes this fabulous, she doesn't make it, but the company does. It's called BHIP, B-H-I-P. Now, what BHIP does, actually, it's a natural herbal, I'm going to say called herbal drink, because basically it actually gives you a lot of energy, has no caffeine whatsoever in it. The herb itself actually is made guarana, which is actually, it's used for to help heal what's inside. So basically, if you ever have gastric problems or even just to build up energy, a lot of the people on the island that are islanders use this quite often to help you with your energy and to actually help you heal, to make you feel stronger. So it's almost like a strong, good, you know, it's like a natural plant that's grown on a tree. And it's actually kind of cool because it's quite tasty. And it actually has natural fruits. There's no, there's nothing there that actually will hurt you at all whatsoever. Anybody who's ever, actually diabetics, be interesting because I got friends that are diabetics and they've actually been using the BHIP. And they themselves notice a big difference, absolutely big difference, even that they're noticing this big difference. But if you ever think about wanting to try the BHIP, I mean, here's the phone number, folks. Hang on, like write them down. Here's the phone number, 778-554-0107. That's 778-554-0107. That's Brenda J. Now, actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give her a call right now and see if she's there because I want to get her on the show. Also, too, I got an editorial that was sent to me just recently, and it's called The Sasquatch Sightings Continue Throughout the Northwest. Now, we actually have Sasquatch here in B.C. I'm going to be kind of funny if these guys are actually clear-cutting land, they find a Sasquatch. What are you doing in my property? Get away. It says here, and I guess this is published actually October the 1st, 2008. Bigfoot appears to be on the move through the wilds of northern B.C. A rash of three sightings between late July and August have been brought about the speculation from paranormal specialists as to what the creature might be up to. In addition to Houston sightings, Larry Summerfield, a self-proclaimed Sasquatch hunter from Terrace, has a cast in his possession that he says is a Sasquatch print. Now this is Terrace, B.C. Though he wouldn't tell the Terrace Standard how he came into possession of the cast, it is 16 inches long, 10.5 inches wide, and has four toes. I don't know why there's so much activity, but I have a researcher friend in Saskatchewan who thinks it may have something to do with the increased bear sightings. Brian Vike, director of the Houston, British Columbia, Canada, HBCC UFO Research, said, "There seems to be a lot more bear sightings near hibernation, and as animals move down from the mountains, maybe something else large and hairy is moving too." A second-hand report received by Vike about a sighting in the Morgan subdivision indicates that another Houston resident saw the enigmatic creature in late July around the same time as Dolores Harry. "I haven't been able to connect with the other lady yet, but she is very credible witness," Vike said. Funny thing, her name's Dolores Harry, Sasquatch and Harry. report 29 days after the sighting simply because she did not know who could she tell. "It was my neighbor who said Brian was the person to talk to," Harry said. since her incident, one of the woman's friends reported a sighting on Telkwa High Road in Morristown on August 27th, and over the summer, there have been sightings in Campbell River on August 31st. At the time of the sighting, Harry heard something crashing outside near her house, and her dogs were anxious to get outside. Now, Morristown is just not too far, I would say about 3 hours or more, no, 4 hours from Prince George. So those are where that area is. At the time of the sighting, Harry heard something crashing outside. Yes, I'm actually becoming more aware of being out there, Harry said, adding her home is surrounded by trees and bluffs. I mean, it could have been a moose or something, but you never know. At 5:45 a.m. that morning of July 28th, Harry heard her dogs barking at the door. When she went down to investigate, she saw that someone or something was rattling the door handle. She eventually opened the door, and the dogs were out like a shot, sniffing out something on the east side of her property. Now, when she looked at the outside of her house, she saw a creature that was walking on two legs. It was huge, and it had long hair, not fur, kind of like the kind you'd see on an ox in reddish brown. The color of the trees that were killed by the pine beetle, said the woman, and it moved so fast, by the time I opened my door, it had run from the porch to the other side of the house. Once outside, the dogs pursued the creature. It continued along a dried-up ravine and disappeared into the forested area. Her oldest dog didn't return for 3 hours. I was worried, but what do you do? Tell people your dog is chasing Bigfoot? She asked. I drove up and down the road looking for him. Eventually, he came back. When she went out later that day, she found that the area had markings where something very heavy had laid down the grass along the path. Now, she was very obviously upset, and there was a sighting on Buck Flats near Silverthorne Lake 3 years ago, said Vike, and another one in a different area near the lake. Now, when Vike investigated the property, he stood in the same area on the east side of the house where the women had seen the creature in an attempt to gauge its height. I am just over 6 feet, and when I stood there, she said she could only see the top of my head, said Vike. Whatever the heck she saw that morning, she was able to see from head to the chest, make it at least 7 or 8 feet. Brian also found that the treed area she indicated the creature disappeared into had disappearances on the path where the grass had been laid down as if something very heavy had slipped and possibly fallen. Now, the creek there is dried up, but the ground is still very swampy, so I figured I would be able to find some impressions, said Vike. I also found that what could have been a track with maybe a couple of toes visible, but I just can't be sure. Vike didn't find any other evidence, just as hair, but he did say that they have been able to find other sightings this summer. Now, Harry doesn't know why the creature would choose to go onto her property, but the experience has left her a little shaky. I used to lock my door once in a while. Now I'll lock it all the time. Well, you know what? Whether she locked her door or not, if he's going to come in, he's going to come in. Let me in. But he'll probably do the knock-knock jokes, you know, just to make sure he gets into the house. But knock-knock, who's there at the Sasquatch. There's a lot of Sasquatch sightings in that area, in northern B.C. That's very common, very, very common. Now, let's see if we can reach... see here, folks. Get a hold of Brenda J. Okay. I'm back, folks. Yeah, I'm looking for Joanne to give me a call. Up in Winnipeg, like I said before, I was trying to get a hold of Brenda J. She wasn't there, and I thought, okay, our loss. She was probably out there busy doing her own thing. If we can get Joanne to give us a call, one from Winnipeg, cousin, give me a call. I want to find out if you guys have been doing your paranormal investigation. I can find out if you've been doing that up there. And see what has happened. I know you did because you sent me the picture. And God just sent her the email or the chat room. Have her call us or have her send me her number. Hang on. Do you know Joanne? Give me your phone number. Send me your phone number here right now through the chat room, and I'll phone you. Okay. It's quite interesting how we deal with different things. And now, lately I've been busy doing a lot of work, getting ready for the Paracon. And, we made some new flyers, for the show. This is happening up in February the 16th and 17th. Have you got a caller there?
Hi, Derek.
Hi.
Nancy, it's Joanne from Winnipeg.
Hi, Joanne. How's it going?
Not too bad.
Good, good. Now, I want to talk to you about your paranormal investigations. Now, you guys, did you go out yourself?
No, I went with Gail, my sister.
Okay.
Yeah, related to Debbie?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we went with a group from her work, and there was about eight of us. It was pretty good. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, and did you do any EVPs?
No, we did. Well, she bought a digital, and one of her friends from work did put it on every once in a while, but I don't think she's gone through it, because we weren't, the reason why I wanted it was I thought we were going to the Bond Street jail, but we weren't, because that's only once. And that's at the beginning of the tour, which starts in May. And that's
So which one did you go to this time?
We went to St. Boniface Museum, which is very, very nice.
I know what that one's like. I was in there.
And we went to the Elmwood Cemetery, which is just up by me here. And I got an experience there. My batteries died.
And what did it feel like?
We all went in. I said my prayer before I got off the bus, and then we all eight of us gathered just before we trekked down to the site where they wanted us to gather. And I said that I had said to them, we're going to do the white light protection, because I don't feel that we should be coming in here without it. And so we did that, and then we went on, and it was very calm after that. Once we did that, it was a very calm feeling. Like I've never felt that way in a cemetery before. It was very, very calm. And we got a lot of orbs and whatnot. And then my camera decided to die, so I put new batteries in it, and they died. I put another set of new batteries in it, and they died. It took eight batteries, and all eight batteries died.
Really?
Yeah. It would not let me take a picture. Like, I think I got...
You're going through a lot of power.
I think I got maybe about... I shouldn't say they didn't let me take a picture. I think they were a little ticked with me because And Gail said to me, see, like, when she walked in and after we did the white light... she strolled down the little path, she had she had asked permission to take pictures of them. And and what I did was I asked if they wanted to join in the pictures, like, feel free to join in the pictures. Like, I didn't say, like, may I take pictures of you? And so she bugs me now, and she says, see, you weren't polite to them, so they didn't want your pictures.
What I learned from this, what you need to do really, is instead of say, would you like to be in the pictures, you need to ask them to come forward and not to be afraid, because they think, they don't know what a camera is about. Okay? All they know is the presence of someone being in the room.
Yeah. And I thought, and I thought about that afterwards, like, you know, like, okay, you know, like, I should have said that. But there, there were orbs, and I think, like, they're not very clear because it was so dark, and I, and because the power in my camera, because of the batteries, it's very grainy, and it's not like you can hardly see because all the power is being sucked out of it. So the pictures weren't all that great. And like in the cemetery, but they were very good in the legislative buildings, in the legislative building, because that's the other place we went to.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was you or someone else sent me the photograph. They actually were dressed up reenacting from the past.
That was Gail. That was Gail. She sent you those pictures. But she wasn't able to send you the one of, like, we, because we're related to Riel, we, where the museum is, we got our pictures taken, beside his statue, just the one of, of the bust.
Yeah.
And, she took one of me, and then I took one of her with my camera. Well, the orb that is in there is traveling, and it's like, what I'll do is I'll try and send it to you because I have it. I was having trouble sending it to her. It wasn't attaching properly to the mail. So what I'll do is I'll try and send it to you. See if you get it. And it.
So did you find any energy shifting or anything in your sight, like any sightings of yourself for yourself? Did you?
Oh yes. The minute I got off the bus. At St. Boniface Hospital, St. Boniface Museum, I felt nauseated, and I thought, okay, maybe it's just because of the bus. I didn't feel nauseated on the bus, and I thought, okay, maybe it's just the bus, you know, like, just motion sickness or something like that. But as I was getting closer to the door of the front door of the museum, I started feeling dizzy. So I thought, okay, it's the spirits around.
Is Lou Riel's coffin to the right as you're walking in still, or did he move it?
Well, we think it moved because of the flood. They're not really sure where he is.
Oh, no, I mean, the coffin, they brought the coffin into the St. Boniface Museum, and they put it to the right side. Actually, it's a green coffin, and the corner of the coffin was burned. Is it still in the same place where they put it?
Well,
did they move it again?
Well, I don't know, because they're building a room for him in the museum. And it's still under construction. They've got his picture up there, and there's still some other stuff they need to put in and whatnot. So I didn't see no coffin there. So whether they remove it or what they do, I don't
know. When I was there, the coffin was there. And when I got close to that coffin, I felt nauseated. I thought I was going to throw up.
Well, that's how I felt just before going into the gates, like, you know, how when you walk off of Taché there, you walk up, I think it's up a couple of steps and through the gates.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt going there. But as I got closer to the door, I was dizzy. So I thought, okay, the spirits are really trying to contact us. So as soon as we walked in, we went into where they've got the chapel.
Yeah.
The shrine for it. Well, I took a picture. I've got a great big orb. I'll send it to you.
Sounds
great.
Great
big orb as everybody is you know, listening to the guides and whatnot. And there was an incident where we're listening to the guides and they're trying to contact the head gray nun. I can't remember her name now, but she apparently roams around there.
Oh, yeah.
And this gentleman in front of me, pardon me?
Go ahead.
And this gentleman in front of me was listening, and he turns around and looks at me, so I thought, okay, you know, what's going on here? So I thought, okay. So he turns around, he says, did you just touch me? And I said, no. And he said, are you sure? And I says, no, I'm standing here, like I've got my cane and my jacket. You know, I showed him where my jacket was and everything. I says, no, I'm not touching you. I says, "Look," I says, somebody's really sweet on you. And he starts to laugh. And I said, what kind of a touch was it? So he showed me on my arm. It was like a very light touch up the, like up his back. And he said, the strange thing is, though, he says, it didn't feel like the touch was coming from outside of his clothes. It felt like it was coming, like,
inside
straight on
his
skin. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when the guides asked like what was going on over in our corner, so the guy was telling them, and I said, so it wasn't me touching him. Nope.
Wow.
But, yeah. And at the cemetery, I saw I was fiddling with my camera trying to get it working and whatnot, and then I was getting I wasn't getting any results or anything. So I was they had given me a flashlight when I went in there so that we could. So that we could see things, and so I had my had the flashlight pointed towards them, and the light was getting dimmer, and I saw out of the corner of my eye on the right side this woman standing there, and I thought it was one of the friends from Gail's work, and I turned to her to say, "Oh, my batteries are dead," and there was nobody there, and then when the guide had said, like, you know, there's a person here that looks at, because we were at the gravesite of a little boy who died.
Yeah.
And she said, there's a woman that comes around here, you know, like, does anybody feel anything? And I said, so I said to her, well, I just saw somebody. I don't know if it's her or not, you know, like, standing to the right of me. And she says, what do you mean you saw? And I said, well, I went to say something because I thought it was one of the group, and I went to say something, and there was nobody there. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, thanks for coming on, Joanne. I really appreciate it. We're coming to close. We've got 1 minute to close. So
okay.
I want to have you back here again. We're going to talk more about this. I think this is great. And let everybody else know out there, too, that I'm bound to determine to get back to Winnipeg and visit my relatives.
There's a conference coming up in March.
Is there?
A paranormal conference coming up in March here.
Well,
and
email
Donna Elliott's going to be here.
Okay, email. Donna Elliott's going to be there?
Yep.
Okay, email me and we'll get something going because Donna's the one that got me up there before.
Okay.
So let's talk about this and we'll get you on and we'll talk more about this because I want to do some paranormal stuff outside on that play in Winnipeg and we'll talk about more later on.
Okay.
Anyways, folks, it's been fabulous having you listening in. This is Derek Weisguy Cloud on Between Two Worlds Radio. It's been a really great night. A good variety of subjects. Anyways, talk to you next week. Next week we have the guys from the Strauss Heart Drops company, which basically not just the heart drops, it's actually the Strauss herb company, and they're going to be talking about protecting our herbs here in Canada, and it's going to be a really great show, so listen in, folks, and we'll see you next week. This is Derek Weisguy Cloud, and you're listening to Between Two Worlds. Be safe, and have a great week. Take care, folks. Bye.